Take our Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Going through our series through Nehemiah. And always something to learn from Nehemiah. Always, Nehemiah is one of my favorite accounts in the Bible. And that Nehemiah was a builder. Nehemiah wasn't just a physical builder, but also he's a very spiritual man. He was a leader. He was a visionary, and he followed the plan of God. He was humble as well. So we see many things about the life of Nehemiah. One of the important aspects, you know, a lot of people look at that Nehemiah was a project manager, that he was a builder. Yes, in that sense he was, but most importantly, he was a spiritual man. He was a man that trusted and loved God, and he gave God, all the way through this, he gave God the credit for all that was being done. Now we're up to chapter number 4. Now the building is underway. Now we see in chapter 3 was a testimony of how God had put everyone together, and Nehemiah had given each family a particular section of the wall, because if you look at something in its entirety, maybe a large project, this was a very large project, you know, this was extremely large, and it can be overwhelming when you look at a project with just what you see now and where you need to be, but you don't see the steps along the way. And God uses men, and ladies too, men in some situations, uses people that are leaders and that are visionaries that can see the plan. We saw in chapter number 2 that he went through and he saw the entire city. He saw the entire project. He saw how bad things were. But instead of seeing how bad things were, he saw how good they could be. And saw the plan, the step-by-step of how this was going to be accomplished. And then he went forward and he led the people and encouraged them and led them by his faith in God and said that God will enable us to do this. And that through the provision of protection by the king of Persia and through the provision of the materials and the provision of giving him the authority to do this, that this was a blessing and a miracle of God. And now we see that there are going to be some distractions. Nehemiah chapter 4. Now, we've already looked a little bit at the distractions of Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. We've seen that, and we see that in the end of chapter number 3, that they were very, or end of chapter number 2, that they were mocking them, and that they were mocking what they were doing. Then we get to chapter number 4, and we see more ridicule. Okay, more ridicule is beginning to happen. And if you're going to follow God, you're going to have some ridicule. You're going to have some mocking. You're going to have some opposition by the devil. And it does it, first of all, verbally. But we have already seen that Sanballat and Tobiah in the end of chapter 2, in verse number 10, how they mocked God and how they mocked and they began to spread rumors that this was a rebellious thing and that the king of Persia was going to come and was going to take them out because he was going to view this as rebellion, the rebuilding of the wall, the rebuilding of the fortifications of Jerusalem. And that's exactly how the devil works. He works on fear. He always will bring a fear. He'll bring a doubt. He'll try and get you discouraged from doing the will of God by bringing fear. But before I continue on, Brother Coe, could I trouble you? I hate to ask. Could I trouble you for a glass of water, sir? That would be wonderful. It was hot on that bus today. It's a warm one. But we were talking on the bus today. Comparatively for a typical Texas summer, we've had a pretty good one. This has actually only been really, really hot the last 2 weeks or so. So last year it was hot from July 1st all the way through to almost October. So we're thankful for that. All right, Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to be beginning reading verse number 1. Read down through verse number 6. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Before we continue, let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Father, I pray that you will bless us and help us, dear Lord, that you will bless us in this lesson. Help us, Lord, to see the small steps, one step at a time, dear Lord, to come to the end where you would have us to be. Pray that you give us wisdom today and instruction in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Coe. I appreciate that. All right, so we see right here that things were going great, that they were encouraged, and we see in chapter 3 the list of all that they were doing. Now, the area of the city at this time was 135 acres. So that's not, maybe small in comparison to what we're used to knowing as a city, but for that time was rather large. The thickness of the wall was in places 16 feet thick. And this was the wall that was built under King Hezekiah. It was 16 feet thick, okay? And Nehemiah repaired the walls of Jerusalem, and to our knowledge did not build a new section of the wall, as some suggest. We don't know that for sure. But the repair of the wall was accomplished at a record-setting pace of 52 days. Now, we know that the gates were completely burned with fire and that there were places that the wall was just complete rubble, was completely broken down. 52 days, they repaired 2 miles of 16-foot thick wall that was over 26 feet high in 52 days. That's amazing. That is an amazing feat. Remember, they didn't have cranes, they didn't have power tools, they didn't have concrete saws, they didn't have concrete and things like that where you can do it fast. This was a hewn rock wall that they built up again. And now they are in the middle of doing this and they are accomplishing something. Amen. Whenever we're starting to accomplish something, the devil's going to come in and try and tell you you're not accomplishing anything. When you're starting to work for God and things are beginning to be built up, you've laid the foundation, you're building, 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 building. We talked about that over the last few weeks in our Friday night Bible study. Building, building, building. And that we get to a place that the devil begins to say, wait a minute, they're actually getting somewhere. God's actually enabling them to do something. So we better discourage them. And that's the devil is the master of distraction. Always tries to distract. So at the end of chapter number 2, we again see the devil's operations, and then here we go in the beginning of chapter number 4, we see it again. And the response of Nehemiah in chapter 2, let's look back at chapter 2 again. We looked at this a couple weeks ago. We're going to remind us of a couple things. And we see that at the end, we see the end of the chapter that Nehemiah has a response. In verse 19, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I then and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. So he had given them a response, basically saying, this is none of your affair. We're not concerned about what you're saying because God has accomplished this. By the way, God had given victory over greater obstacles than these men already. God had turned the heart of the king of Persia and allowed him to do all of this. So Sanballat and Tobiah were not a big problem in looking at the retrospective thing, the grand picture, in that now it was an important thing. It was a problem to those that lived there. But Nehemiah, he had seen God do so many things so that he just told them, we're going to build. We're not going to be discouraged. We're not going to be distracted. And this is none of your affair. And we're going to go forward. So now they're continuing to build. Now again, we see in chapter 4, but now Nehemiah doesn't respond to them directly. He goes to the Lord. He prays. This is the right response for any Christian that is being accosted by the devil, is go to the Lord. Is when someone is fighting against you or fighting against what you're trying to build for the Lord and the Lord is leading you and you're trying to serve God. You know what you need to do? You need to go to the Lord in prayer, and this is what we call an imprecatory prayer. In that, instead of, he wasn't asking for mercy upon them to be forgiven, but he said, Lord, they have mocked you.
They have despised you. They have despised your people. Let what they wish upon us happen to them. And that is a biblical principle. We look through the Proverbs. You see, those that proclaim a curse, many times will have that curse come upon them, the wicked will. And so we see that Nehemiah is praying that. But then, verse number 6, we doesn't see that he doesn't sit there and get angry about it. He doesn't sit there and worry about it. He doesn't say, well, maybe we need to hold off. It said, so what? So built we the wall. He keeps going. He's not letting this distract. These men that Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, these men were determined to not see God's people rebuild. And I said, well, why is that? These people more than likely were part of the raiders that were raiding the city because they were defenseless and were maybe perhaps providing protection for them. We don't know exactly. All we do, we have some vague historical references that are extra biblical. But we do see that these men had something to lose by the Israelites building this wall, and they were determined not to see it happen. Now, we see Nehemiah's response, and he prays, and once again, inciting the promise of God upon their enemies. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. He was claiming a promise, and Nehemiah was in the practice of doing that. We see that in Nehemiah chapter 1, when he is praying to the Lord. Now that Israel was seeking after God, was seeking the restoration of Israel, and it was a promise given that God gave to Israel that if they turned back to him, that he would restore them. And that is the promise Nehemiah claimed. And God honored that, and God was doing that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. So right here, their enemy is now trying to attack them and trying to distract them. And what Nehemiah is claiming the promise of, Lord, you're going to have to take care of them. So now the discouragement wasn't working. They promptly put their faith in Jehovah to take care of the situation, and they continued to build. They didn't waste time worrying about words and defaming mockery, because at the end of the day, does it really matter what people say? Words are, they say talk is cheap. You know, when someone is saying, well, you're just not accomplishing anything, and the devil loves to whisper in our ear, you know what we need to do? We just need to keep going and just trust the Lord. Now we see that after this, that there is a plot. But verse number 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. So now they were just saying words. Now they were becoming more alarmed. That they were becoming alarmed that Israel was going to be fortified again, and they were angry. They were upset. They were threatening now. Said, well, if you don't stop, we're going to come and we're going to fight you and we're going to destroy you. And you know what? What is the response Nehemiah had? Once again, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So he didn't dismiss it entirely. He said, very likely this could happen. We're going to set a watch so we know when they're going to come, if they're going to come. But we're not going to sit and we're not going to stop. We're not going to bow down to the threats of evil people. We're going to continue going. But now, because of this opposition, there comes some discouragement. You know, we can endure maybe one round of discouragement. But when opposition keeps coming and it gets more severe, you know, it's one thing to make fun, but then when you're threatened with physical harm, it can make people step back and say, wait a minute. And we need to count the cost of this. They kind of take a step back, and that's what happens to these people. Verse 10, and Judah said, this is the tribe of Judah, the strength of the late bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, then we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the Habergeons and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held the weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated under the wall, upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So he labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with a servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. So this was the plan. So there was a discouragement that came, and that they were concerned about their safety. And rightfully so, because of what they were describing here, because the walls were broken down and because there's great piles of rubble, there was a lot of places for the army of Sanballat and Tobiah and the Ammonites to sneak into the city and to stealthily come around. Basically what they were saying, hey, we could be working on a pile of rubble. All of a sudden, a soldier comes around and I'm dead. I don't have any defense. There's no way to know where they're going to come in or when or how, if they come in during the day or at the night. And this struck fear into the heart of the people. And they had probably countrymen dwelling near Sanballat and Tobiah, and they came to know what they were planning to do. And they told the people of Judah, and they brought their concerns to Nehemiah, said that they're planning to fight against us. They're planning to come and take the city, and they're coming to kill us. Now, Nehemiah could have said, well, we just need, now this is very important. You need to have wisdom whenever you're building for the Lord. You need to have some defenses. You know, there are some people that have two different approaches to things. Like, well, we need to just stop the work, and we're just going to sit, we're going to huddle together, and we're just going to hold on to the center of the city. We're not going to do any work for God. We're just going to hold on until Jesus comes. You know, because the world's so evil and things are so bad, you know, and things are so dangerous, you know, you get sued, you know, and by doing these different things. And so we're just going to sit here and we're going to get into our shell and we're going to hide, but we're not going to do anything for God. Now, that's not accomplishing the Lord's work and not having faith either. But then you have an opposite end of the spectrum, that you have people, you know, that if they were Nehemiah, they would say, we don't need to worry about this. We just need to keep working. You know, God is going to take care of us, and that there's never going to be any problem. They're not going to come. We don't need to prepare. We don't need to set up defenses. We just need to keep working, and God will take care of us. Now, on one side, there's a lack of faith. But then on the other side, there is a confidence, a faith, but also there is a very fine line between faith and foolishness. God calls us to be wise. Amen? He calls us to be wise. And so Nehemiah, in a wise way, now the work was not diminished, but they were wise and set up protections. They set up a watch. They set up a certain section of the people for soldiers and guards that had spears and swords, and that there was an alarm system with the trumpets, so that when the trumpet was sounded, they had a battle plan, an evacuation plan, that they were to come back to one place and make their stand so that they weren't picked off and isolated. They had a battle plan, and they said the Lord. But at the end of the day, Nehemiah knew ultimately that it was going to be God that brought the victory. He said, the Lord, our God, will fight for us. He said, we must do our part. We must be ready and we must be willing to fight. But at the end of the day, the odds were very much against them. And that always seems to be with when Israel fights a war, doesn't it? You look at that even today. You look at during the 1960s, you look at the Yom Kippur War. I mean, hopelessly outnumbered, hopelessly. And they decimated the armies that came against them. And they give credit to God for that. They said that we don't understand how this happened, but we just give credit to God for this. And that's what we see in the Bible, is that the children of Israel, that when they were against all odds, that God protected them when they were doing right. It's important to remember that, when they were doing right. Now, when they were doing wrong, were they defeated? Oh, yes, they were defeated. So we see very much so that this plan was what was a wise thing to do, but they weren't trusting in the plan. They're still trusting in God. There's nothing wrong with being wise and setting up defenses and protections. That doesn't show a lack of faith, because we have this idea that being wise and protecting and having protections and being careful, being prayerful and careful and wise, that's a lack of faith. I understand you can go to the one opposite end of the spectrum. You know, there are people, that's why we have different, like, children's workers' policies and different things, to be wise to protect the church and to protect the people that are building for the Lord, because the devil wants to destroy. But then there's other people say, well, that's just a lack of faith. We don't need to do all those things. If we get sued, we're just going to trust God. You know what? There's a lot of churches that don't have church buildings anymore. Their churches aren't there anymore because they said that. Because they refuse to be wise. There is nothing wrong with being wise and setting up protection. So they set up the defenses, but nothing was going to deter them from finishing God's work for them. Look at Psalm 2. Psalm chapter 2. We'll come back to Nehemiah here in just a moment. Nehemiah, Psalm chapter 2, and verse number 1. And this example that we see in Nehemiah is very instructive for us in our Christian life. In Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Right? This is exactly what's happening. That why do people do that? Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why is it that we're attacked? Why is it that those that try to do right are always seems to be on the short end of the stick at times? Now, that's what the devil wants you to think. The devil wants you to be discouraged in that. However, ultimately, we've won because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We've won, even though we're going to have some adversity, we're going to have some persecutions. But why is that? Verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. So ultimately, no matter how good of a plan the devil lays, no matter how good of a plan the enemies of God lay, ultimately, God will be victorious. We know in 1 Peter 5:8, that the devil is as a roaring lion, walk about, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking around. He's looking for times and a place to destroy. But our defense is in the Lord. And this is important for us to understand. A wonderful example that we need to have defenses set up in our life so when the devil comes attacking, we know what we're supposed to do. When the devil comes tempting, that we know what we're supposed to do. That we go to the sword of the Spirit. We go and we take the word of God and we use it to fight off the devil. We have a battle plan and we have people that we're accountable to. If the devil is tempting you, then you blow that trumpet and you call other people. You call upon the Lord, but also you call other people that can help you and encourage you to build you up and to defend you. That's what being a Christian is, and that's where to defend each other. That when we're struggling, or maybe the Lord is, or the devil is tempting us with something, that we can go to people that we trust and say, will you pray for me? The Lord, the devil is really battling me right now, is really trying to discourage me, is really trying to get me to quit. Will you pray for me? And you know what? You call other people to the battle to pray and help battle for you. That's what we're to do as Christian people. We're not an island unto ourselves. We are to help one another and to build each other up and to edify and defend one another. But, Pastor, you know, it's none of my business, though. That's how our society is, individualistic society. Guess what? We can dispense with that because we don't see that in the Bible. We see a great sense of community in the churches, a great sense of kinship, of family, and of mutual encouragement and building up. And when that happens, there's less room for the devil to get someone off by themselves and destroy them or discourage them and get them to fall. There's a great power in that. And so we need to have those defenses. Look back at Nehemiah chapter 4. Turn back to Nehemiah chapter number 4. So even now we're talking about a building project here. Now, it's interesting enough, Brother Davis, that you're here today with us when we're going through the series. It's interesting how this happened. Now, I'm sure he could tell you stories of when you're about to begin a project and something blows up or breaks or something, or you have that person that comes by. I don't know why you're even trying to do this, you know, and things like that. You know, we've had that happen when we're doing our roofing project. You know how many things got stolen? You know, we had people running in the church and different things. And I mean, it seemed like the first couple of days, everything was going to go wrong, you know, and different things. And then we had to fix some problems with the roof that we didn't anticipate and going through and then had people driving through here doing weird things and then had shots fired in the back property, you know, over, I still don't understand what happened there. I was outside behind the building over here and, was getting something and all I heard was pop, pop, boom, boom over my head. That's all I heard. And I ran for the door inside. And I have no idea where it came from or what it was, if it was just someone was shooting at me or were just shooting in this general direction up in the air. We don't know. The police came out. I mean, I've never seen a KPD response like that. Man, they had six cruisers out here, man. They were fanning out. They were in the back with their flashlights, and I think they had a dog out there. Man, they were searching for everything back there. But you know what? They're like, man, the devil doesn't want this to take place. And a lot of other things. And whenever we're about to do something for the Lord, by the way, every time before we're to launch a major new ministry that I'm about to announce to the church and we've been praying about it and planning to do it, every single time, do you know what the devil does? He climbs up on my shoulder and says, you know, this is never going to work. It's not going to work. It's never going to do anything. You know what? You know how many times before I go on that fort, before I do a Bible study, you know, I have the devil climb up my shoulder and say, you know, no one's going to show up tonight. You know that, right? Why are you even going? No one's even going to show. Who cares? And the night that that happened, the worst, and I was just getting kind of discouraged, you know, because if he sits there long enough and you don't get rid of him, he'll begin to listen. Okay, and right there, I went to that Bible study that night, and a couple people showed up, and you know what, that was the night that I was the most discouraged about, and I just had to pray, I said, Lord, I'm going to go do this for you, and you're going to have to bring the increase. That was the night Paul came in and got saved. Because the devil saw that this guy was probably going to come, that he was going to be brought, and he said, no, I don't want him to get saved. And that, you got to understand, when you begin, the devil begins to whisper in your ear, you're probably doing something right. You're probably going the right direction. You're going to be doing something for the Lord. But when he begins to whisper in your ear, you have those defenses set up. Just like Nehemiah set up these defenses. And you know what? Literally, that they had in one hand, they had the trowel or whatever you would have to put the, they were building with one hand. They had their sword on their hips so that when they were building, that they could turn in a moment's notice and turn from a builder into a soldier. That right there, that's a whole sermon right there. In that we need to be builders, but also we need to be soldiers as well because the devil is going to come calling. There's going to be attacks that are going to come. Besides, and these people, they didn't say, well, I didn't sign up to be a soldier. I didn't sign up for that. I came to build. You know, we look in chapter 3, we see goldsmiths and merchants and all kinds of different vocations. And these people didn't say, well, you know what? That's not my job. I'm not a soldier. Someone else needs to do the fighting. But what did Nehemiah tell them? That you're fighting for your brethren and for your homes and for your wives and for your children and for your God. That's worth fighting for. You know, you look at that, it's like one of those rousing, you know, before battle speeches that you hear about. And it's in the Bible. It's, remember, this is why you're doing this. This isn't just a wall to build a wall. There is a purpose in it, and there is a goal in it to bring, not to take away the reproach before God's city, but also so that you can be free as a people. Because they were being oppressed by the nations round about at this time. And they continued to build. And this was an around-the-clock thing. They were going to stick with it. They were going to go until it was finished. That they were always ready. That's a whole nother sermon right there. I mean, just in this one example, you can get sermon after sermon out of this. They were ready. They didn't take off their clothes. They were at the ready. They were ready to stand up and fight at a moment's notice. They were ready to stand up and work at a moment's notice. They were ready all the time. A great example to us. Are we only ready on Sunday? Are we only ready on Wednesday? Are we only ready certain days of the week, but then there's other days we're not ready, we're just lounging around. We're not ready spiritually or mentally. We're not connected in. We're not walking in the Spirit. We're just kind of, we're there. That's the day the devil comes calling. That's the day that discouragement can come. That's the day that we can get off track because we're not at the ready. So this morning, next week we're going to look at chapter number 5. And then we're going to look at some other opposition that came, but did not come external, but then came internal opposition from the nobles and the leaders that were already in the city. And so the external opposition came. We expect that. But then also there are sometimes we don't expect internal opposition. Those that are supposed to be on the side of God and working toward the same goal, but then some internal opposition came. But we'll get into that next week. Let's pray and be dismissed this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. I pray that you will bless us as we go into the morning service. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that we would be builders and, Lord, that we would also be defenders of your word, defenders of the faith, defenders of our families. And, Lord, we pray that you would help us to have the defenses set up, that you would guide us in that and help us. We pray that you would bless the service to come, bless the baptisms, and bless the special activities for today. In Jesus' name, amen.